I'm Michael Kellett. You are listening to The Walking Dead Girl.
Hello, everybody. This is Jasmine.
And this is Michael.
And I'm The Walking Dead Girl. You're listening to The Walking Dead Girl, episode 71. In this podcast, we review and discuss the hit TV show The Walking Dead from AMC. In addition to reviewing the TV episodes right after they air, we sometimes have interviews with special guests.
If you want to give us feedback on the show, you can. You can send email to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. You can also call us on our telephone line, 1-844-TWD-GIRL. And we actually have a voicemail that we're going to play today. And also, you can post a comment on our Facebook page, facebook.com/The Walking Dead Girl Podcast. Or to reach this episode directly on our website, you can go to thewalkingdeadgirl.com/71. We routinely read feedback and comments on the show.
Before we get started, as always, I want to remind you guys that we will be discussing every gory detail about the TV show. So obviously, there will be spoilers. So make sure you've watched the current episode before listening.
And we want to apologize to those that listen to our podcast routinely and wait for it on Mondays or Tuesdays that we were late. And then we are sorry about that. So, Jasmine, you have some explaining to do.
I do. I really do. I apologize. I am super busy this every year. Hopefully, this is our last. This is my last year, though. Around this time, it gets really busy because this is the last 2 weeks of our high school play, Aladdin. And as Princess Jasmine, I'm required to attend every rehearsal and sing.
Well, I think as payment to our listeners, you need to sing a song.
I'm trying to save my voice because you can tell it sounds pretty hoarse. And
well, you can either sing or one day you will wake up and you won't be in your bed.
Oh my gosh. And you'll be somewhere far, far away where no one can hear you.
Yes. So, what did you think of this episode?
I really enjoyed it. It was one of the slow episodes, but it was slow in a good way, if that's possible. There was a lot of information. I've been hearing from other people that I've talked to about this episode, because my friends watch it too, that they, and these are from the people that like the action-packed episodes, that they didn't mind this episode because it was really good. So, if action people liked it, then I'm pretty sure it was good.
Yeah, no, we liked it. We both liked it. I think it was one of the best episodes because of the fact that it was, I guess we can hear the birds tweeting outside. It's kind of distracting. I guess we should close the window.
Sunny California.
I guess we should close the window. Do you want to just go over and pull it closed? Even in our bunker down here, we can still hear the birds from outside in our zombie bunker. I was going to say that we have, I like the episode because it was kind of that hypothetical. It kind of got into the hypothetical explanation of, well, what if our group finds civilization, then what?
Yeah, and a lot of people thought it would be another Terminus, another Woodbury, but I think, like I said before, that it's kind of reversed. I feel like the people, our group is more of the threat than, in a sense, they're not really a threat, but in more than the people at Alexandria, and mm-hmm. I'm surprised at how lucky they are. And even Rick says when they were meeting in the opening scene, or like after the opening scene, how they're saying they're so lucky, and they're even luckier now that they have us, mm-hmm. you know? And I find that so incredible but I think they're traumatized. And throughout this whole episode, you especially see from Sasha how traumatized she really is, which I find is really interesting too.
Well, Rick said they're lucky, but are they lucky really? Are they maybe unlucky that they found them?
I mean, I feel like they're just going to try to adapt. Humans are very adaptable, so I think they're just going to be able to fit in. Obviously, it's going to take some time, but with the right kind of guidance.
Right. So, let's start from the beginning go through this episode. Like as you said, Sasha can't cope, and we see how that's kind of manifesting itself.
Yeah, she's basically taken all the family pictures inside the house they're staying and like shot them up. And I didn't really understand why until I saw that interview, but was she trying to get walkers to come to her so she can let off some steam by killing them? We realized that it's because she wants to get rid of all of this happiness, all of this normalcy, I think, that she's so angry that she can't feel that, you know, now that they're here, because she's lost so much. And if you think about it, she's lost like a whole bunch of people before, like just before they got there.
Yeah. And just a trivia thing, the people in the photos are actually staff from the show. They're staff people.
Yeah. And wait, okay. You know how you said that, oh, there's too many people on this show, we need to kill some people off. Three people have died this season. Is that enough people for you?
No, I think there's
really?
I think there's a huge thing coming on the horizon.
Why do you say that?
Well, we saw that when Carol killed that walker when they had their little secret meeting.
Mm-hmm.
They saw the W on the foreheads.
Ooh, yeah.
You know, we've seen it before, but now they kind of made it really obvious to the audience, like, hey, there's this
group. Even like the cast has acknowledged it now.
Yeah, even our group has acknowledged that, hey, there's a group out there that puts W's on the walker foreheads and lets them loose. Like, why? You know, it's a strange phenomenon that they've noticed. But so that means that there's other people out there that we haven't seen yet.
I think that are watching them. I think that's who took the gun from the blender. I think they're watching them.
Right. It's possible that this other group is the one that took the gun, as you said. And it's not Alexandrians at all.
Mm-mm.
So,
yeah. And it's so interesting. I can't wait. If I think people are going to die because of whoever those people are, I think it's going to be the people from Alexandria. Like Olivia, first of all. Like, who the heck? What? You know, when she was like, yeah, I used to open up a coffee shop for 7 years. I even still carry my cell phone. Like, what? Are you kidding me?
Yeah. And I think there's going to be either a huge battle or they're going to attack or something. They're going to somehow meet up with these people somehow, this group that's out there. And the question will raise, like, will Rick protect the Alexandrians or will he protect himself and his family and his group, right?
Yeah.
When the time
comes.
Well,
I know he will protect people who are with him at the time, I think. But it's very interesting because going on back to the show, they meet up to plan how to get their guns back. Like they're preparing for a time where something bad will happen.
Yeah, which is smart.
Yeah, which is smart because yes, they're not rejecting the whole Alexandria situation, but they're not going to be too safe, you know. So they're going to have, which I think is smart, but I also think is kind of risky too because if they do get caught, Carol. Or, you know, something does happen, they'll be like, what do you have guns for? Then again, it wouldn't matter because if something does happen, then they'd be like, well, I'm glad you have guns.
Yeah. Well, and since, you know, somebody's stealing guns or took that gun from that hideout, they can't just take the guns and hide them somewhere because someone will find them.
Exactly.
Obviously,
they have to keep them inside.
Yeah. So they have to keep them somewhere or on them.
Yeah, and they mention also that, yes, we still have to keep up appearances. We got to appear like we're trying. We have to try to blend in. And
well, to try to not blend in, but try to make it work. I think that's what the try is all about. Like, try is like, try to be part of the community.
But, I want to know, is it try to, like, fake it? Or is it try to, like, just accept it?
No, I think try means honestly make a good attempt at fitting in with the community. I think that's what it means because, you know, they need to. And when Carol said, you know, you should too, Rick, like you should try too.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just tell us to try or the others.
Mm-hmm. And then in the following scene, we have Michonne. She's trying on her new outfit. And I like they even kept like Michonne's kind of style with the leather strings and the back. I've never seen a police outfit with something like that.
I know that seems not real.
Yeah, that would kind of threw me off.
That seems kind of made up for the show. Like, why would they have a jacket with?
Maybe she made it like that. I don't know.
That's weird. But the strings were too long, so she used her katana as a.
That's what scissors. Her katana is used for now.
As a utility to cut the strings, and then.
They have a conversation.
Yeah. So what do you think the real purpose of them having the police outfits are?
This one's kind of confusing. Well, it's not confusing, but this is kind of tricky for me because, yes, Michonne and Rick now have the authority or the appearance of authority. And Deanna is really smart because she recognizes their strength and wants to trust them to get on their good side, I think. But, and I also think, because they're like, well, why? And I think it's also for other people at the camp to make them feel like there's some society going on, you know, some like resembling what it was before. And she wants them to enforce things. She wants them to take charge. Not a lot of charge, obviously, but she wants them to handle security because she knows they need it, although she doesn't know how much she needs it.
Yeah.
But that's why Michonne's like, she's very smart because she knows what she needs to fix.
Yeah, I agree. I think she's basically trying to get their community. She realizes that there's some threat out there. I think she knows that.
I think so too.
She can't be that stupid.
Mm-hmm.
She knows that they're not protected enough. And I think that's what her. I mean, she's very lucky that she found Rick and them, and that, you know, and Michonne can protect them.
Mm-hmm.
So I think she's definitely using that for that.
And also, I think Michonne is still trying to get Rick to live in the moment, to get into this town, because she said, "What did she say?" She said, "Oh, it's like something about now, you know, this is now, you know."
Well, because Rick was saying, you know, yeah, she's smart, but in the old world, but does she have the smarts for this new world, right?
Yeah, but she said, yeah.
Yeah, but it sounds like Michonne agreed that she's smart overall, mm-hmm. I guess.
And then we also have another scene where it's like very interesting because Daryl is hunting, and you never expect, you know, someone like Daryl to be able to bond with someone like Aaron, you know? And I honestly think Aaron was following Daryl. I don't believe the whole I'm hunting rabbits storyline, but
yeah, well,
it's just an excuse.
I think he was following him on purpose, right?
Yeah, because he wants to bring up the whole, yeah. But I really liked, out of the whole episode, I really liked their interaction because it seemed so, it was nice to see Daryl in his own way open up more. Not open up, but, you know, try.
Yeah.
He really is trying.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it can kind of go back to the whole, remember when Carol and Daryl were out in Atlanta looking for Beth, you know? And, you know, they had this whole thing about, you know, trying, still trying in the world and not giving up, and how he took that book and everything.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll see more of that in the future, but I think Aaron would be the key to helping unlock his, you know, inner demons and kind of like help him become whole again.
Yeah. Well, I think Aaron has a good read on Daryl.
Mm-hmm.
I think he has him. Because when he talks to him later on, he tells him, hey, you know who the good people and the bad people are. You know who, you belong out there. I mean, no, you like going out there, but you don't belong out there.
Yeah, but I understand why you need to be out there. And this gives me hope that Daryl will be alive still, because I was starting to worry that he wouldn't be able to fit in. But I realized that Aaron gave him the perfect job, the recruiter. He gets to be out there on his bike.
Yeah.
Matt somehow conveniently owns like found a bunch of parts, and he can actually do some good, because Aaron's right. He can tell who's bad and who's good, but just because of who he is, you know, he's a good guy on the inside, but he's seen some terrible jacked up crap, you know, so he's perfect.
Yeah.
And plus people will relate to him out there in the wild.
So let's hear the clip with Aaron talking to Daryl.
Can you ride horses?
I ride bikes.
Take it you don't mean 10 speeds. I know you're feeling like an outsider. It's not your fault, you know. Eric and I, we're still looked at as outsiders in a lot of ways. We've heard our fair share of well-meaning but hilariously offensive things from some otherwise really nice men and women. People are people. The more afraid they get, the more stupid they get. Fear shrinks the brain. You know, they're scared of you and me for different reasons. They're less scared of me because they know me. It's less and less every day. So, let them get to know you. Go to Deanna's party tonight.
I got nothing to prove. I met a lot of bad people out here. A lot of bad shit. They weren't afraid of nothing.
Yeah, they were.
So what do you think about where Aaron's saying that, you know, they're alike because they're both not outsiders, but the town kind of doesn't like either of them. For different reasons. He's kind of afraid of them.
Yeah. I it's a very nice kind of analogy there. Like, not an analogy, connection they have there, because, but I know why he said it. It's true. The more you get to know them, the less scared people will be. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Well, obviously, Aaron's talking about the fact that he's, you know, his homosexuality and, mm-hmm. you know, and all that stuff. So it shows, like, even later we see where Aaron doesn't go to the party. You know, they're kind of like outcast from the community a little bit.
I know it's more, I know it's more than just, oh, I want to watch Eric's like, I'm pretty sure he's fine. But I think it's because, you know, they don't like being in that kind of environment, and not like specifically negative.
Daryl was an outcast before the apocalypse a little mm-hmm. bit, right? Because he was kind of a hillbilly and
traveling with his brother and not really having a stable job.
They didn't really fit into the normal society a little bit. Plus, now with the apocalypse, Daryl is out and he, you know, lives.
He fit in out there, but now that he's back with in society.
Yeah, he can't really fit in. I mean, he doesn't really. Mm-hmm. But he's saying that people are afraid of them. And that's why they say mean things, and that's why they do that. I mean, I don't know about that, because Daryl said at the end, "Well, we've been out there, and I've seen people do really horrible things, and they weren't afraid. they did them anyway." Mm-hmm. So anyway, just some interesting discussion about.
And I like the fact how Daryl actually wore a dress shirt. I mean, of course, it was underneath the jacket, but
Daryl did.
Yeah, you did not see that. He had a long sleeve black shirt on when he was on his way to the party.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
That was the first thing I noticed. I was like, wow, he looks kind of fresh. Probably even took a shower.
Oh, maybe he did take a shower. That's true. I didn't notice that. I got to rewind and watch that. And then Deanna has a talk with Rick, Michonne, and Maggie.
What is Maggie's role now? Is she like the secretary or something? Like, is she part of the government now?
I guess.
She said, yeah, that's why Maggie's here.
Like, what's Maggie going to do now? I have no idea. But anyway, everybody has these weird roles, I guess. And do you know what Maggie said? Oh, do you think this is pie in the sky? And then he said no. Do you think he honestly believes
that? That's what I was going to ask you. I didn't know if he was just saying that, but I don't know. I really don't know. I think at that moment he was not sure about it, but I think is when he was talking to, what's that woman? The one that cut his hair?
I don't remember.
Yeah, but I think
all these new characters.
I know. I think she's the key to what's making him open up more. I think that's what's making him up. Well, because she likes her, but I think at that point, he was still trying to get used to the idea.
So I think that Rick was lying or just telling Deanna what she wanted to hear when he said that he believes that it's not pie in the sky.
Mm-hmm, but I know that Maggie believes it.
Yeah, because she responded right away. Mm-hmm. And of course, you know, Michonne wants to believe it. They went outside and Rick and Michonne freaked out the fact
that... Because they have no lookout in the watchtower. They just have an empty rifle. What the heck is that about?
Well, I guess to scare people. I don't know.
Are you kidding me? Like, I was like, are you kidding? I'm so glad Rick and Michonne are taking care of things now, because that's ridiculous. Like, keep saying, yeah, people can climb up the supports. We need to be on a lookout. We're not just worrying about walkers anymore. It's people you got to be worried about. And I like Rick's character now. I mean... At that point in the episode, I did, but until the end, I was like, oh, okay, this is weird, because you know how he's going, like, weird status. But I like the fact that he's, like, the new world cop. Like, he was a cop in his former life, and then now he still gets to be a cop, but in a different world. So a different, mm-hmm. different set of rules, different thinking, but I still like the fact that he's taking that kind of role, because he's perfect at that. That's what he does. I feel like this, he's in a good place in his character arc.
Yeah. But it also shows that, you know, Deanna... is letting them do what they will need to do.
She understands.
So there's a compromise there. It's not like she's freaking out on them. So there's a compromise, and she's accepting that. What did you think about Sasha's interaction with Deanna, where Sasha's jumping in and saying, I want to do all the watches?
I was weirded out. I was like, wait, what? Why are you so anxious or like so like dead set on set? Like, you know, does she want to kill walkers, or is she just doesn't want to be with people?
Yeah, and Deanna, because Deanna apparently can read people, apparently figured that out, because she's like looking at her like, why do you want to do this?
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Because she's suspicious, like, and then Maggie says, oh, because she's a good shot, and then, but I don't think it's because of that. I think Sasha just wants to do it because she wants to get into the fight.
Exactly.
She wants to be like in warrior mode.
All the time, because she can't handle this new world kind of stuff.
Yep.
Also, I also want to go back to the part where Rick was like, that's what I would do when he said they were climbing up this, they would climb up the support beams. You know, when people, people are like get out of prisons and they work for the police force talking about how criminals like work and stuff. Yeah. I feel like Rick is that kind of person now. You know, he knows all the ins and outs of bad people and stuff and what they would do. So he's kind of like, that's advantage for Deanna. That's why she wants to take him in.
Yeah. So he's like the consultant for apocalyptic communities.
Yeah.
He goes around and becomes a consultant.
Mm-hmm. I say, yeah, this is what you need to fix to make a perfect.
Yeah, this is what you need to do. And then, so what do you think of Carol in this episode?
Oh my goodness. She is on fire. She's never misses a beat. Like, she's the only character that is like so adaptable. Oh my gosh. The moment she stepped foot on that place, she's like a different person. Like, she went undercover mode. She really is blends in really well with all those freaking get-ups she's wearing. God. And then when she was having that conversation with those mothers, or like, I feel like they're mothers, but those women, oh my gosh. That lady was when she's like, okay, I gotta talk to Rick and beg him to something, something, something. And then the woman's like, okay, girl, just hit me when you, hit me up, girl. I was like, oh, I shuddered. That was literally the weirdest. And she's like, okay, I would have been like, give it a look. Like, are you kidding me? Right. What is this?
Yeah, that was funny. And how, and that also this plays into what happens later at the party where they're all talking about trivial things. Like, how can you be talking about all these trivial things?
Exactly. It's kind of like when The Walking Dead comes in, you know, like to us, real people, regular, like the viewers, you know what I mean? Like to us, it doesn't seem weird, but to them, it's like, what the heck? Mm-hmm. You could, it's like almost two different races, two different evolutions of people, I like to think.
Yeah. And she has that smile on her face.
It's like, it's such a trusting smile.
Yes. Oh, yes. I'm so happy. But deep down, she's kind of plotting everyone's demise.
Exactly. She has it all figured out.
She knows exactly who to hide behind and use for cover when the bullets fly.
Exactly.
Or who to throw at the zombies.
Didn't she use Axel as someone to block the bullets back at the prison, remember?
His dead body, yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, she's smart.
But she also knows who to throw at a zombie, at a walker, in order to slow them down so that she couldn't take off.
Oh, my God, yeah. She's that type of person.
Yeah.
And then we have a scene where we're back with Aaron and Daryl, and they're hunting together. Oh, my gosh. And they find a horse named Buttons, and I bet you when I watched the scene of Daryl like trying to go tame the horse, I was like, oh my gosh, half of America is swooning right now because Daryl's being so like, ooh.
Yeah, gentle and everything. Mm-hmm. Well, I like, it was really nice to see him with the horse, with the lasso, mm-hmm. walking into the woods with trying to get the horse. That was a good scene. Of course, it didn't turn out so well for the horse, but.
Yeah, and I'm surprised they weren't as broken up about it as I thought they would be. But again, it's the apocalypse.
I mean, Aaron was kind of upset.
Yeah, because he knew him.
I could see a tear drop.
Single tear.
Single tear guy.
Single man tear.
Single tear man. Single man tear. No, he's not single. But yeah, so that was kind of sad. But yeah. It was a nice scene. And also at that moment is where Daryl says that he likes riding bikes or something.
Yeah.
Motorcycle. So maybe that's where Aaron got the idea later on in the scene, in the show.
I think they already had it because Eric already knew that he was going to ask him. Mm. Or maybe he wasn't going to add in the bike deal. I remember that interview we were listening to where Daryl's like, the horse represents the group.
Oh, yeah.
How you can try to bring a wild horse back, try to help him. But then in the end,
you killed them.
Yeah, you can't domesticate something that's wild like that. Maybe there's the group. The group has been wild for so long that you can't bring it back into society, you know?
Yeah, that's kind of what the horse is, because the horse was wild and it was surviving. Remember Aaron said, oh, he always ran when the walkers, but they were trying to save the horse and they made it run into this enclosed area where it couldn't get out.
Mm-hmm.
And there was walkers in there. So the act of trying to save him killed them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what Daryl was saying in the interview. Like, well, that's kind of what the group is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're trying to save them and bring them into society, into what quote unquote new society. But maybe that's going to kill them in the end
because
they're fine out there.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, there's not a lot of food out there, but you know,
it still worked.
Yeah.
Oh, I also wanted to mention: do they allow cursing in the show now?
Why?
I feel like there's more curse words in this season than there was in any other season.
Well, you can say.
I know you can say the B word, but I didn't know you could say the S word.
which stands for poop.
Yeah.
I think you can say that.
On the show?
I don't know if we can say it on our podcast. I have no idea. This podcast is safe, family friendly, so we have to watch what we say. but no, I think it's always been like that.
Oh, because I kind of like 4 S words.
Yeah.
And that's besides the point. The point is, show's great.
The party started, so mm-hmm. Are you going to go to the party, Jasmine?
Honestly, no. Just to keep up appearances, I'll make an appearance. Yeah, okay. I like how Carol was like, oh, you have to stay awake. You got to, you know, keep up appearances and everything. I'll go to the stock room because Olivia got there, right?
Mm-hmm. And, oh yeah, about that stock room scene, there was this guy called Tobin. And
I said, hi, I'm Tobin.
I'm Tobin. I can help you, teach you how to shoot.
Like she's like a damsel in distress or something.
Right. Obviously, that's not necessary.
For so she played that role perfectly, you know? Like,
yeah, she's like, well, I'm not afraid of guns. I mean, I've had this little
Held on to one, but the group usually protected me most of the time.
But I have no experience in those. Like, really? She shoot like a rocket launcher?
Exactly.
There's no experience in those? Come on. But anyway, it was just hilarious. Every time I see Carol pretending not to be who she really is, it's funny.
I feel like, you know, when you're watching those 50s black and white shows?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, Carol. Dun, 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 dun. She just turns the camera.
Yeah, like, leave it to be there.
Uh-huh. I don't know what that is.
It's like that movie we saw that was in black and white.
Oh, yeah. They were making fun of 50s.
What was it called?
Neighborhood or something?
Well, they go back in time through the television set. And they get flashed back into this black...
The guy that played Peter Parker?
Yeah, he had flashed back to the past.
And Reese Witherspoon?
And Reese Witherspoon is in there. And Tobey Maguire.
And what's his name? Forgot his name. The one that played in Fast and Furious that recently passed away?
Yeah.
Oh my God, he was so hot. Anyway, moving on.
Anyway, they went to the back to Leave It to Beaver kind of town. And then it was in black and white. And then kind of they showed them, hey, it's okay to... actually, you know, have sex and talk about these things, and then everything came in color.
Yeah, everything like changed. Not everything's perfect. Yeah,
exactly. So what's funny was at the party we finally see Deanna's husband.
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know he was alive.
So he's alive.
Wow, they really have it lucky.
So what do you think of him?
I really like him. Like,
really?
You don't like him? I think he's an Avrick, which is nice because, you know, he's not going to be another, you know, alpha. Like, he's just like, hey, I build a...
He respects him, I guess.
Yeah, he respects him a lot. And I like that. And I thought it was really interesting because I never saw the side of Rick when Reg says, here, have a drink. And he's like, no, I'm good. He's like, no, you don't have to be. And then I never saw Rick so flustered because he's like, oh, okay. You know, like, ew, stop, Rick.
Well, he's slowly trying to fit in.
Yeah, which is, I've never seen him smile so much in an episode. I liked when Abraham and Rosita came in. He's like, I don't know about this. He's like, they have beer. He's like, well, I'm going to try.
Yeah. Try to drink as many beers as I can before it all goes to hell.
Right.
Again. And yeah, so that was funny.
And then we have Noah sitting out in the corner being all like antisocial. And I thought this scene was kind of nice because I felt like up until that point, Noah didn't feel like he was part of the group because he just got in recently. But when Glenn says you're with family, I think that was basically saying, hey, yeah. Not just, oh, you're safe now, but oh, you're with us. So let us help you. Let us suffer this awkward situation together.
No, because he said, Noah says, I'm taking off. And Glenn's like, no, you're not bailing on us.
It's like, no, you can't, man.
You can't do this to us.
Yeah.
You're going to suffer. You're going to like go through
suffer
this.
Just like we are.
Exactly. Just like we are, man. We're in this together. Like, it's like they're going out on a zombie raid or something or like a...
I know. A, well, because like
we're in
this
together. Like,
they've
what?
Never...
It's like, come on. Exactly. It's just a party. Jesus.
They've never been in a cocktail party, Dad? Really? It's been 3 years since the apocalypse. You think they're just going to jump back into society with a cocktail party? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, it is kind of weird.
With hors d'oeuvres and like... wine and
well, it was funny when they were
classical
showing,
music
when they were showing the behind the scenes video the one you can see on
all the actors were uncomfortable.
AMCTV.com. They have these behind the scenes videos, and even the people that do the props for the show didn't know what to do. Like they were uncomfortable. They were like, I think we got to make some hors d'oeuvres and put on the table and stuff. Some props. It's like they're used to making like old. Ruined houses and zombie heads and stuff.
I know.
And now they're making like hors d'oeuvres.
But yeah, but they use things that they would people would have found if they were scrounging around and still make it look good, you know, still make it look, which is creative.
And I like how the makeup people didn't go over the top with our group to make them like, oh, they've transformed.
I mean, Carol is over the top because she's in disguise. So that's the point. But everybody else still resembles.
Like, they're clean. Like there's no mud, but they're not like totally dolled up. Like,
I realized that everybody's still wearing what they would wear when they were in the apocalypse. Like, for example, Glenn always wore like a striped shirt. Like, remember in the beginning first season, he wore like a baseball shirt. But then during later in the apocalypse, he still had a striped shirt, but it was dirty and dark and tattered. But now he's wearing a clean striped shirt. Mm-hmm. And Maggie's wearing a loose shirt, but this one's like navy blue, so it's nice and everything.
Oh, look at you, all fashion centric.
Dude, I noticed these things, okay?
Yeah, I have to say, it's kind of weird looking at you with these extensions.
Oh, yes. As Princess Jasmine, I have extensions and I took them home because I wanted to wear them today.
You got all the makeup on still.
Yeah, I can't do this myself. Crazy.
Oh, the life of an actress. It must be tough.
Oh, so tough.
Yeah, so they trying to fit in, but they can't.
And then, I don't know her name. The woman with her husband, Pete, comes in and her two sons.
Oh, Jesse.
Jesse, yes, that's her name, Jesse.
So I noticed the two kids. So it turns out that the cookie boy. I call him the cookie boy now.
The cookie boy.
The cookie boy says, Sam, the cookie boy, comes in and the other kid who was friends with Carl.
Mm-hmm. Who, so, by the way, looks like he's having a great time.
Yeah, Carl's just fitting in.
And they talk and they introduce Pete, and Pete's kind of creepy because he's like, hey, come over by my office.
Let's analyze this. What's going on with
Pete? I don't like Pete.
Why?
Pete seems like Carl's ex-husband, Ed. You know, like they're not... Oh. I mean, I don't think he's beating her, but I think they're not in a happy relationship, and she just doesn't want to admit it, obviously.
It's obvious, because she goes, oh, I'll get the drink.
And she's like, no, I got it.
Yeah, I got this. Like, okay, dude, calm down.
He's like, cold, give her the cold shoulder. So we're like, this is good, because that means we know Jesse and Rick are going to hook up, obviously, because she's unhappy.
And then...
So Rick is going to be a Shane, essentially.
And then Pete's going to find out, and he's going to threaten Rick, and then Rick is going to kill him.
Oh, yeah. A Shane.
Or something like that.
Yeah, I know. Especially at the end where he almost looked like he was about to draw out his gun. What was that about?
I think it's just animal instinct.
Mm. Oh, yeah, because he's wild.
They're wild animals, man.
Yeah, and then the kid gives him an A. He's like, Mom, he doesn't have an A. Like, it's like, what is this, a cult? Come on.
Exactly. I was afraid of that moment because I thought, oh, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. Like, this is, the secret is revealed now. There's some super cult that he's not part of. But it turns out that it was just a stamp. But the thing is, didn't that remind you of like the A that they used in Terminus?
That's what it reminded me of on the train car.
Yeah.
But no, it's A for Alexandria.
Ah, right.
I think the stamp is from someone who was a teacher and they would stamp it A. That's what I feel like. Homeworks with it.
You got an A. But the thing is, so there's a connection there. So A was the letter they used in Terminus. I don't know if there's a connection.
I doubt it.
I don't know. Maybe A.
Really?
Maybe Terminus people knew about Alexandria and they labeled the train car A because that's where all the Alexandria people would go.
Oh my gosh. Oh. Dad, stop.
I just made the connection. Okay. I just made the connection.
This is why I can't hang out with you in public, Dad. No. Okay, fine.
I'm super conspiracy here. So the Terminus people knew about Alexandria and everybody...
But Alexandria never knew anything happened.
Okay. I know it's far-fetched, but there you go.
Terminus is so much farther.
Yeah, that's true. Threw it out there.
Yeah, so...
But it did give some underlying... as a viewer, it did kind of bring back memories of Terminus. And it was kind of... that's all I kept thinking about. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that... You know, they thought of that too.
And I think the symbolic gesture for like, hey, you're part of Alexandria now. It's okay to be part of Alexandria.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And
it's a good symbolism for like, you're all one of us.
Mm-hmm. And I like that. And then just skipping ahead a little bit, Rick kissed Jesse on the cheek, like, and then gave her a look as he backed away.
Yeah, that was awkward. kind of, not that so awkward.
It wasn't that awkward because it wasn't on the lips. So it could mean anything. It could be a friendly thing or it could just be a romantic thing.
But I'm sure Jesse, because of that, looks at him in a different way.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure Jesse hangs out with him because because she's friendly. You know what I'm saying?
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. But I realized that Jesse has not been in the apocalypse at all. So when she's saying, hey, isn't this great? How would the heck would she know?
Well,
hey, aren't you having fun? Oh, wait, no, because, you just killed like 5 people last night or something.
One thing that she said, which was revealing, is that she likes this moment, this new life better because all the BS is gone.
Yeah, not all the trivial stuff, but a lot of the differences in between, I can't hang out with you, social classist kind of society that we have.
Yeah.
Is not going on here because she said people who would never interact with each other are interacting with each other now from all different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So something, and I like the fact she can see positivity, which is good for Rick because Rick needs that. And I think that's a good balance. So I think that's why they'd be a good balance for each other at least.
Yeah. But I definitely think that Rick will, target her. And if there's something going on between Pete and getting involved, I think he might also do something about that. And then they talk about, so Sasha comes into the party
and she looked like she was about to leave, but Spencer, the guy who was supposed to be on duty at the tower, says hey, and then starts freaking her out by talking about a pasta maker that this woman's talking about, and she's like, okay, move out of the way, I gotta go, excuse me. And we realize how out of touch with society she really is because she's in the crowd. And I don't know what it is, but she starts having flashbacks from the church. Why is she having flashbacks from the church?
Where they were eating.
Yeah.
Because there was like a gathering where they were eating and then their zombies show up and stuff. Mm. But she definitely has traumatic things going on in her mind. And, she doesn't care about Mrs. Niedermeyer's pasta maker.
And then this woman comes up to her and says, hey, sweetie, what is your favorite food? Oh, come on. Everybody has a favorite food. Tell me your favorite food. I'll make it for you. I'm just worried that you wouldn't like it. And then she's like, girl, this is what you're worried about? Are you kidding me? If I'm going to like the food that you give me? I understand her anger. Like, I 100% understand it. And especially in the place she was in.
Yeah.
It's stupid.
She could have totally eaten Bob's leg if she had to. I mean.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, that's what she was thinking about anyway, in the flashbacks. But yeah, that's, and then they were talking about other things too, like, oh, I wish a dentist would arrive because our teeth are not that fresh or something like that.
Yeah.
We could use,
oh my gosh,
we could use an examination.
Because he's so much better when his breath is fresh.
And then they were talking about some book club that someone's hogging the book and.
We only have one copy. Just read the book.
All this stuff that the group, it's foreign to the group, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's why later on, Sasha, when she's talking to Deanna at the gate, she's like, no, all this stuff is not real.
But she's like, yes, it is. We have to start somewhere.
It feels like to Sasha that this is like the Matrix, where, like the movie The Matrix, where there's like this fake world and the real world.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels, and Sasha feels that this community.
He's living in a fake reality.
Yeah, fake reality where the real world is out there.
Mm-hmm.
And this is just some made-up thing.
Yeah.
But obviously, Deanna disagrees because she's living in it. So, and I don't know how they lived in there for so many years, which is strange.
Yeah, so in the next scene, we have Daryl and Carol and Rick meeting up again with the guns because they got the guns.
Yeah.
And, Rick or Daryl doesn't want to take the gun because he says, I don't think I need it because I'm trying to fit in and I'm actually starting to really believe in that and believe in this community now that I have a place, I think.
He thinks he has a place as being the new recruiter guy.
Yeah. And Rick still takes it because he's not sure, which I think symbolizes, where they are at this point with Alexandria. And I still like the fact that Daryl's changing.
He's changing, but again, I feel that there's an ominous presence looming outside.
Oh, of course, yeah.
And this is all going to come to a head. And there is going to be some confrontation, and it's probably going to be at the finale. It's going to be at the last episode. Mm-hmm. It's going to be like a cliffhanger.
I know.
Where you don't know who...
Because we haven't seen too many signs right now. Like, we just saw the first sign, and we have 3 more episodes left. Yeah, it's not going to develop
into 3
that.
More episodes.
And the next one's going to be dealing with Gabriel.
Yeah, we haven't seen Gabriel, and I think the next episode is going to show Gabriel and what he's up to. And then we have two more episodes after that to kind of get this whole confrontation going, because I think that's definitely going to happen. I mean, I don't say it has to happen, but I could see just because we know the history of The Walking Dead.
Yeah.
We know from past
experiences
that this is about to happen, I guess. I mean, not for sure, but we're just guessing here.
Mm-hmm. And then Michonne also retires her katana. I mean, not totally hide it in a box in a closet, but she puts it on a wall. So it's in view, but she kind of has no use for it really right now, which I think is a very momentous moment for her, you know, and
I'm glad she has it on the shelf.
Yeah, it looks so nice.
Well, not kind of buried.
Yeah.
Because she can quickly
retrieve it if she needs to.
Because if you remember, Michonne and Abraham, which we didn't talk about, were talking at the party.
Yeah. Abraham was like, you know, on your back, even when it's off your back.
Yeah, the sword, the katana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Which is symbolic of, yeah, you've taken it off and you're partying and right now, but it's still on your mind and you still don't want to forget that world.
And also, I wanted to ask you, what did it mean when he said, you know, are you trying? And she says, I put on this dress. And she said, try again. Like, oh, is he saying do more? Try more?
I think so. Like, and that's what she did by putting the katana on the shelf. I think that's what she did to do that.
Yeah.
Is there anything else that we didn't, because we went through this.
Well, we're almost done. Rick gives Pete and his wife, Jesse, a dirty look.
Oh, right. So and he holds the gun in his waist.
Yeah. And then the music starts, like the super preppy, like not preppy, happy songs comes on. And then he's walking. He hears a walker by the wall.
Which I give him props to because it's the Bee Gees, which I love. So I love the Bee Gees. I'm a super Bee Gees fanatic.
Oh my gosh, yes you are. I actually like the Bee Gees now because of you, by the way. So he hears a walker at the wall. So he goes to the wall. And this is two opinions I have. Because he goes against the fence, like, creepily. And I'm thinking he's either happy that for once the walker's on the other side and he's protected, or he wants to be out there again. He wants to get back to his wild side. Mm-hmm. You know, he feels like he's being locked up, like, not really, but kind of. That's the only two things I can feel that would feel make sense for why he did that. I don't know why it's kind of creeping me out, though.
Well, it's not a fence like at the prison where you can see what's on the other side.
Yeah.
You can just hear and, you know, feel.
Yeah.
So it's a different experience. So I think Rick is just feeling reassured. It's like, yep, the danger is still out there.
But and I'm in here.
Yeah.
And they're out there.
It's just a reminder of the what's out there, I think. And that's
a good one.
And he just doesn't want to. And he had his hand up there and you could see the A on his hand.
Yeah. It's just like everything's framed perfectly.
Yes. So we had a caller that left a voicemail.
Yes, let's listen to that.
And he talks a little bit about this.
Hey, Walking Dead girl. This is KJ from Atlanta, hailing from D.C. My wife and I both have psychology backgrounds, and we love to analyze Rick. And so two things. I thought it was interesting that Rick, throughout all this time, you know, being outside in the wild, has become so primal and so carnal that when he was watching Pete walk with Jesse down the street, two things in his mind about him wanting Jesse and him also knowing that something is off about Pete and he knows he might have to take care of him later. I think that just in his mind, he was like, okay, well, let me just take care of the guy right now. And that's why his hand was on the gun. But then he had like, you know, I'm in this community, so let me chill. And then secondly, he's been trained so well in the wild that he can hear walkers from down the block outside the wall. And he ran up to the wall, and suddenly all the anxiety that he had was appropriate when he heard the walker. Suddenly he wasn't so crazy because he knew that that danger was just inches away. And so he didn't look like the crazy guy in the community anymore. And so I think it gave him some peace. Okay. Look forward to hearing from you guys later, and I look forward to the next episode. All right. Bye.
So that was KJ. So what do you think?
Wow, that's really interesting. I love hearing like stuff like that because I want to analyze Rick psychologically, but I don't have that kind of background. But that's really cool. Yeah, but we were kind of close to when we said that it was kind of like an instinct kind of thing when he saw Pete. And that's really interesting. I like that. And then when he was going to the wall, that was like a block away.
Yeah, it was pretty far.
Oh, wow.
But, you know, yeah, so KJ has, he recorded his audio clip twice because the first one apparently cut off, but he was saying that listening to us makes him want to have a daughter because we have such a good chemistry together.
Aww.
But yeah, so hey, KJ, you're welcome to leave more voicemails and or actually be on the show if you want us to be part of the show. Or
oh yeah, that sounds like a great idea.
Yeah, we can bring him in as audio, as a third guest to the show. But yeah, thanks for the feedback, and we kind of both agree on that that's basically what was going on.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. I totally agree. It's very interesting. I wonder if he'll ever lose that. I doubt it, but maybe he can learn how to deal with it.
I mean, if Rick will ever get out of that mode.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it depends on what happens in the future.
True.
Like if it's peaceful for a long time, like it was at the prison,
mm-hmm.
you know, he became
he'll get comfortable. I don't think he'll ever get that comfortable.
He became a farmer.
Yeah, but I don't think he'll ever become that comfortable. He can't.
Why? Because it backfired on him?
Oh, yeah. He lost so much just because of that. So he's never going to become that. Maybe for the sake of Carl, maybe, but Carl seems okay now.
You know what the biggest thing that will make Rick snap?
What?
Is if Judith dies.
Oh my God, yes. Or Carl.
Or Carl. Like if one of those two dies, then he's going to totally snap. He's going to become an evil person.
Do you think he might kill himself? Or he's not that weak?
No, he's not going to kill himself, but he's going to go like on a rage trip or something. You know, remember when
when Lori died, how he went in the prison?
Yeah, he went in the prison and just started murdering
all the walkers. He cleared it all by himself.
Yeah, he's going to go on a rampage, but he won't kill walkers. He'll be killing people.
You think he'll kill people?
Yeah, I think he's going to become this evil person. Well, mm-hmm. Anyway, this is just a what if scenario.
Pretty dramatic.
One thing I just, I was thinking of where I saw this before, but you know when Carol was talking to the cookie boy?
Yeah.
And she was saying that she was, you know, staring down on him and scaring him, and the kid was with his big eyes and everything. You know what scene it reminded me of that? Do you remember Jurassic Park?
Yeah.
Do you remember the very, very first beginning where the scientists, I don't know what his name was, but they were in the desert and they were looking for raptor bones.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a kid there, and the guy goes, "Oh, look, it's a raptor." And then the kid goes, "That doesn't look scary."
Uh-huh.
And then he goes around, "Oh, really?" And then he's like, "Well, they have..."
Oh, was it Jeff Goldblum?
Not Jeff Goldblum, but...
oh, no. It was someone else. I know what you're talking about, though.
It was the archaeologist. Mm-hmm. Not the archaeologist. Is that what they're called, archaeologists?
Yeah. Uh-huh. They dig up bones?
The bones? No, the people that dig
fossils.
Fossils.
Yeah, archaeologists.
Archaeologists, the people that look at history. Not necessarily...
No, it's an archaeologist. Look up dinosaur bones. I don't know.
Okay. Anyway, he was saying, okay, you think it's not scary? Well, there's, imagine if this is look, and he had the bone in his hand, and he said, okay, well.
Oh, is it a claw?
It was a claw.
And he put it to his neck or something?
And he said it would be ripping your stomach like this. And he
made I remember
gesture,
that. Yeah.
And the kid's looking at him scared him to death. It was exact the same scene where he's scaring the kid with
just by telling him a story.
Telling the story about the raptors slicing him up and killing him.
Yeah.
It was the same that Carol and the kid were doing. Those were mirrored exactly. If you guys have that video, you should watch it. It's exactly the same. And the kid's haircut is the same almost, and the eyes, bulgy eyes and everything.
That's funny.
So do you want to get into some Facebook comments?
Yeah, let's do it.
So do you want to read the one from Vic Miller?
Yes. Okay, and he says, Rick keeps talking about how they should worry more about the people they encounter because they are the real danger now. While the scary part is now it seems that they are those people Rick was talking about. Rick is looking to take out that doctor and steal his wife.
You're going to have to interpret this because it's Facebook spelling.
Oh, yeah. Carol, after that little pep talk with the kid needs to... Oh, I can't...
Needs a light blue windowless van.
Oh, and a lost dog. She made my skin crawl a little bit. Sasha, poor Sasha. She has gone off the deep end already and is having some serious PTSD, post-traumatic zombie apocalypse stress disorder. With the proper fortifications, Alexandria should be the perfect compound, but that would be boring now, wouldn't it? True. They could have the perfect compound and then have someone attack it and ruin it.
Yeah. Yeah. So the people that Rick is warning about could be them.
Yeah.
So they could definitely...
That's what we've been saying this whole time, too.
Exactly. So we're in sync with our listeners.
I know. And then he continues on to say, despite the current situation, remember Alexandria has stood with no issues per se up to this point. So they may be naive and they manage up to this point behind the walls of a place that would be and that would and show to be the target of every wandering group of survivors. Just think of what would have happened if the governor came across Anne Alexandria. I feel like they have been seeing the wolf sniffing at the gates and sent Aaron out to bring back some wild dogs of their own.
So maybe they knew about the wolves pack.
Because they're pretty close. That walker that they saw with the W was pretty close to the camp.
Yeah,
can't even count them. I can't even say it's a camp. I have to say it's a community.
I don't think Deanna is that smart, though. Or
she's pretty smart.
I think she's smart. Like Rick said, then smart or now smart. I think, you know, she's smart in the sense of, you know, let's build this community and stuff. But yeah. Not smart enough to know what's out there. I don't think she really knows what's out there. But perhaps she does, and it's all a plan. I'll read Ned Dixon's comment. Rick, oh, he's losing it. I think the hubby is just a pompous doctor, not as much of a threat as before.
Yeah, because people keep worrying about this. It's going to be a Shane.
Yeah. But keep your eyes open on that country dude that Carol's been chatting up in the armory.
Tobin?
Oh, Carol, cookies or death? That's a new one. She's not as invisible as she thought. Remember how how Hansel and Gretel turned out? How did Hansel and Gretel turn out? I don't know.
Oh, it's because the witch that kills Hansel and Gretel, they had like, she had a gingerbread house, but then she died anyway because the kids put her in the oven.
Oh.
I don't know. That's a good analogy because she has cookies and she likes little kids. Oh, and the kids are going to kill her.
Sasha, I totally get why Sasha flipped out. This transition is crazy. For months, if not years, living by the sword is now a society where whether you read for book club matters. Are you kidding me? I'm right there with you, Sasha. The move from a society based on instincts and day-to-day living to now a society where people have the time and privilege to ponder and throw
lavish soirees.
Ooh, soiree. What's a soiree?
It's like an evening party. I learned that in French. It's the only thing I learned.
Feels like the A versus W stands for accepted versus waitlisted. What?
Waitlisted. Whoa. That just gave me an epiphany. Yeah, it doesn't have to be wolves. It could have been like, oh, they rejected us, but we're not strong enough to actually infiltrate the camp. You don't seem skeptical.
No, I don't get it. What do you mean?
Like waitlisted. Like, you know how people have to get auditioned to get into that place? Maybe they've rejected some people. You know?
Interesting. Okay. And what was up with the Sesame Street Muppet-like music at the end? That wasn't Muppet music. That was the Bee Gees. Don't insult the Bee Gees.
One person, Phil Grollo, says, Rick went full Shane. You never go full Shane. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
but she totally made a lot of good points.
Yeah, so this is building up to something big, I think, as I said. Mm-hmm. And so we'll see what happens.
I just can't wait. There's only, what, two more episodes?
Three more.
Oh, man.
Yeah, so it's coming close. So that's the end of our show. We apologize for being late on this one. And we're probably going to be late on the next one, too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I would say Monday, but I don't want to be...
Because you're doing the last week of rehearsals.
Yeah, which is tech week for anybody who doesn't know.
I think you mentioned that before.
Oh, really? Dang it. Just like talking about it because it's so hectic. I just want to like say, nope, I don't want to be princess. But it's going to be great. The show's going to be great.
Hopefully after the show is over, you're going to be singing a song for us on the podcast.
Maybe.
Yeah.
I'll force you to, don't worry.
we'll get you to sing one song from the play.
Well, we've come to the end of the show. Thank you all for listening to this episode. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on iTunes and give us a review. We appreciate any feedback you might have. And as always, you can send email feedback to talkback@thewalkingdeadgirl.com. And as always, this is Jasmine.
And I'm Michael.
Stay alive.